to start off real quick, and I know I always say this, but I want to just like say it again just because of last week I was in Mexico. I was at the Foursquare Mexico convention, and let me tell you that God is doing some great and mighty things in Mexico. Even though there's been a lot of things that have happened with the government in Mexico, just a lot of corruption and everything, God seems to have the church planted just in a strategic place so that God can reveal himself in a mighty and a great way with the people from Mexico. And let me tell you that sometimes when I was over there, God was just revealing to me what God was going to do. And I believe that there's a revival coming, just and particularly, and then they had talked about it there as well, that God's going to use Mexico in a strategic way to influence many nations. If you think about it, Mexico is actually the way that many people come to the U.S. And I want to say, it's a political issue, but in reality, I mean, not just Mexicans. I mean, I heard of Chinese people are going through Mexico to come over here. And then there's people from the Middle East and different places from the world. And so it seems like it's a strategic place that many nations, not only from other countries, but also South and Central America, of how they come and where God has strategically placed Mexico is to influence those countries from all over the world. And so anyway, I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for Mexico, that God would continue to do some great and mighty things there as well. And then also, if you hear some type of accent, I haven't had to speak English in over a week. So hey, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been stuttering a lot, so forgive me if I stutter. I'm glad to be back, and it's an awesome feeling just to be here with you guys this morning. But in the last weeks, Pastor Tim has been speaking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit has given us gifts and it has empowered us to move in those gifts. He gives gifts to his people. How many say amen to that? And these gifts are very practical. You know, they're like, he said, like tools in our spiritual tool belts and have been given to us for the common good. So I want to read to you a scripture. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to encourage you to open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. So again, the scripture we're going to be looking at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. And it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What is it? What is it for? For the common good. To one, there has been given, is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretations of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. But I also want to emphasize also in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 4, 8. So if you have your Bibles, again, if you want to open them up, if not, you can look up in the screen. But there's also the scripture, which is awesome, because it tells us even the other gifts that are also available to us as well. And in chapter 12, verse 4 through 8, it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts. Say, we have different gifts. So we don't all have the same gifts, but we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let me tell you, church, I don't know where you fall within this category as far as what gifts you have or don't have. But this is one thing that's important for us to look at so that we can determine what gift has God given me. So why don't you go ahead and ask yourself that just for a second. What is the gift that God has given me that is for the common good? These gifts are given to us by His Spirit. And again, they're for the common good, not just for our own good. It's funny that, well, it's not funny, but it's one of the things that it's interesting to see that God tells us You know, if it's prophesy, then prophesy according to your faith. You know, if it's to serve, serve. If it's to teach, teach. So there's always a reason why God has given us gifts. And it's not just to keep them all bound to ourselves or hug on to them. Amen? So the gifts are to be used. The gifts are for us to put them into practice. The scripture that I want to focus on is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I believe, looked at this last week. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So if God has given us practical gifts, the gifts are to be used, amen, because they're practical. We're supposed to use them. And if Pastor has taught us that they're like tools in our spiritual tool belts, then they are for others to be blessed by. Amen? If you guys, for those that work in construction, what do you guys use? You guys use a tool belt. But let me ask you, do you guys actually end up owning that house that you guys are working for? And building? No. You guys build it for who? For someone else to live in. But you guys use your tools so that that construction building would be for the benefit of others. But this is the other question we have to ask ourselves. It's what is our motivation for using the gifts that God has given us? If we don't know the motivation of our heart, then we may be using our gifts in a way that God didn't intend for us to use them. Think of the gifts and talents that God has given you for a minute. And think of how you have used them or haven't used them. Do you understand what drives you to do what you do or the reasons why you don't do what you need to do? That's very important for us to know, because if we don't know why we are supposed to use them, then we will never use them. If we don't understand that these gifts that God has given us is for others, then what we're going to end up doing is just spinning our wheels. We're going to think that it's all about coming to church, and it's really not. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe I stepped on some tones there and some toes. See what I mean? Some tones. I said tones, but not toes. Anyway, you know what I meant. That's important for us to understand, because if we understand that our gifts go with us wherever we go, let me tell you that you can have church anywhere you go. Amen. Well, some of you guys are happy, but some of the rest of you guys are like, what are you talking about? Let me tell you that if God is giving you gifts and you take these gifts with you, you can have church wherever you want. Let me tell you, because God is going to show you that those gifts that God has given us is for the benefit of others. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, and it does not boast. I believe that the reason why this chapter is before the chapter 14, where we hear about that we're supposed to follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, is because anything we do, anything we say, everything that comes before using anything has to be done in love. Chapter 14 tells us that we need to follow the way of love. So then, when we use our gifts, let us use them in loving expressions that speak to the people around us. Loving expressions. You know, it's funny. It's one thing to say, I love you. You know, we say that all the time. I love you, son. I love you. And but then they ask you, hey, can I borrow your car? You're like, I don't love you that much. You know. You know what I mean? How many can identify with what I'm saying? I love you. I love you. And then it's like, well, can I borrow some money? It's like, oh, wait, let me see. Hold on. Because, you know, it's easy to say we love. Another thing is to show it. You know, it's interesting. We have a brother. There's a brother here in our second service. Actually, the brother that plays the guitar, one time I asked him, hey, bro, you know what? We were talking about just giving, you know, this last, about resourcing and stuff just a few months back. And one of the things that I asked him is, hey, man, I want to put some new lights in my house. And you know, this would be awesome for us to do, because it'll make the house look a little different and better. And we need lighting in the living room. And And so he came over and he started working on my lights. And then, you know, I purchased the lights. And then I asked him, hey, bro, well, how much is it going to be? And the guy's like, Pastor, you've been talking about resourcing. You've been talking about resourcing others. And it's always for the benefit of others, not ourselves. And he's like, I'm not going to charge you anything. You know what I mean? And let me tell you, some of you guys are like, oh, well, that's because you're the pastor. No. Because it's about, he has a gift that God's given him. He said, I want to do it for the benefit of others. But because I love you, but because it's not just whenever we call somebody to do something, it's about that communion that we constantly have. It's easy to love those people that you've been having communion with and show those expressions in one way or another, whether it's, you know, we're going to look at whether it's in giving. So, you know, when we give, that's one way that we can have our loving expression and show that towards others. Whether it's a haircut, you know, it's awesome to see that there's some folks here in our congregation that go to the Good Samaritan the first Sunday of the month to go and, because they have a gift of cutting hair, they go to the Good Samaritan, they cut haircuts. They give haircuts for free to kids, to adults. And that's a way to using your gift. And I don't know if we have that slide, Bree. It's giving. But one of the first ways that we find and express our gifts is through giving. And when we do that, and when I see and I hear that people are giving haircuts for free to people that can use that money to help their kids or with food or other things, you know, let me tell you that as small as that haircut may be, there is this one person that said, you know, I have an interview tomorrow and I didn't know how I was going to go and how I was going to present myself. And I didn't have money to go get a haircut, but because you guys came here, now I'm able to go and look decently enough to me present myself before the person that's going to interview me. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough and we feel like, I don't have money, you know? Well, I don't have a car. But whatever it is, so I believe all of us have something to give. Or whether it's comforting. You know, another way is to comfort someone else. You may feel like, man, I don't have, you know, it's interesting to see how people would feel that they don't have anything to give. But there's some people here that just know how to listen. Is anybody here? Hey, man, it seems like all of you guys are have that gift here. Everybody's paying attention. So you guys listen. You guys listening. You know, you guys listen. You know, some of you guys may, or you might be elbowing your spouse and saying like, you don't have that gift. You know, I don't know. You always want to fix things. You know, it's like that quote from Dumb and Dumber. I don't know if you guys like. Anyway, but it's like, you know, he said something about me not listening to her. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. You know, that sort of thing. So think about that for a minute. But some of you guys have that gift just to listen and just to share a few words. I mean, just the words that come out of your mouth, you're like, wow, thank you for just telling and hearing me out, but just to tell me that you're here for me. Sometimes those loving expressions of just being there with someone else is enough. Not to fix things, but just to be there. That's very important to someone who either is grieving or someone who is just going through a hard time with their spouse or just going through just different situations in their lives. If you could just listen and comfort me and just say, hey, I'm here for you, man, or here for you. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay because I know a God that is much bigger than your situation. Put your trust in him. When we do those things, I believe God will begin to change and use things to bring a transformation in people's lives. Or it may be teaching, just as simple as teaching. You know, another way to express our gifts is that way. You know, one of the things that I find myself just discovering as I'm getting older. Yes, I'm getting older, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Some of you guys are like, no, you're still young. But now I start seeing some of my students that I used to teach guitar. They're getting older, and they're like in their 20s now. And I'm like, oh my goodness, when did this happen? You know. Amen. But just to hear them come back and just to tell me, You know what? It's because of what you did and because you believed and you saw something in me that now I'm leading worship in this other congregation, in this other place. You know, it's about building the kingdom church. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you're going to give it to him loud. Amen. Go ahead and give him. I believe I'm number three. Three. There you go. Or whether it's to translate for somebody or drive someone to their appointment, you know. Maybe it's whatever. I mean, one of the things that it's important for us to realize, and Doobie, you may realize this more often than me because you're a little older than me. But anyway, it's just, I'm kidding. It's just seeing the students come back. You know, and then the interesting thing is when they come back with kids and they're like, hey, you know, how's it going? You're like, oh my goodness, you have kids. So, but just to hear how your gift impacted their life. Just, you might have felt like you just, for me, it was just G, C, and D, and that's all I knew at that point, but I was willing to give it and teach it to someone else. Just as small as that was, that began a journey. There's, you know, one of the buddies that came to worship night, you guys might have seen him, his name is Stephen. And Stephen, you know, it just began with a question. When he came here, it was about 15 years ago, where he was here sitting down in one of the chairs, and he came up just to say hello to me after worship was done or as service was done. And I asked him, have you ever considered, you know, being on the worship team, man? That was just a question. It was just one question. And that question led to just discovering that he had what it took and just discovering that he could sing. And just then after that, playing guitar. It's just one question, church. And we could just encourage people to say, hey, have you considered what's in you? Have you considered what God has placed in your heart? Amen, amen. So if God is giving you something, bring it out. And I was blessed to hear that he was worshiping in Fresno and that he was a worship leader over there. And then from there, then he was the students coordinator at one of the Fresno's university. And then now he's leaving to Washington. He left to Washington. Let me tell you that sometimes our gifts, we may feel like they're just small, or even feel like, again, that we don't have anything to give or pour ourselves out in or on someone else. But let me tell you, it's just maybe just one question. It may just be one question. You know, and I have somebody here that he didn't think that I was going to share this, but I'm going to ask Mario to go ahead and stand up. Stand up, Mario, if you can, man. Mario, yeah, that Mario. Mario, amen. Mario, he stirred something in me when I was beginning to learn guitar. He says, don't give up, man. He wanted me to play the bass. I was a little rebel. I said, no, let me learn guitar first, man. And then we'll go into the bass. But he began stirring something in my heart. And he said, you know what? You can do it. He gave me the opportunity to lead sometimes. And I would lead up from the front here as well back then. And one of the things that Mario always taught me was just, hey, you know what? You just got to keep going. And you got to do it for the Lord. And let me tell you, those are the things that God, sometimes we feel like, hey, what can God do in my life? What can God do with what I have? You know, chapter 13 is the platform in which we are to stand from on for whatever we say or whatever we do, which is, number one, how are we to use our gifts? We are to use them with love. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy and does not boast. You know, sometimes as a teacher, I would tell you, sometimes it's really hard to be patient. Amen? And you're like, it's G, not C. Get it right, man. I mean, just how hard could it be? But let me tell you that love, when you do it in love, you do it because you believe and you see something in that person. Love is the sunglasses or the glasses that we are to put on whenever we say or do anything for God. Amen? Because love covers multitude of sins. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to look at the person like, man, this guy has no hope. It's hopeless. But when you put on these glasses, those glasses begin to change everything. These glasses begin to look at people and say, hey, yes, you can. Oh, man, you're going to be a worship leader. Oh, man, you're going to be able to do this for the Lord. You're going to be able to go and bring a lot of people to him, to his feet. And then you start seeing these kids here. And then you start seeing like, man, these kids, Man, they're going to be able to reach people for the gospel, their generation. They're going to teach others of the love of Christ. I'm telling you, this is what God would do. It's not a work of men, it's the work of one. And he talked about the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. All we have to do is just be willing to pour ourselves out and be willing to encourage others. So when I see kids here and they say, hey, you know what, I want to learn to play the guitar, let's get them learning how to play the guitar. They want to learn how to play the bass, let's get them. They don't need to be, you know what I mean? No, everything, but let's begin to stir something in their hearts. For me, it began with a track. How many of you guys know the tapes? Well, many of these kids nowadays are going to be like, what's a tape, Dad? Anyway, it was a tape for me. Maybe you guys are like, oh, you're still a puppy. Mine were 8-tracks. Anyway. Some of you guys would be like, oh, mine were records. Anyway, we won't go there. But whatever it was, for me, it was a tape. And they said, hey, they're going to have a special for the kids. You know, do you want to sing? And I said, yeah, I want to sing. Because my dad was singing. And I saw my dad use his gift. My dad had a gift, and he sang. And he sang for the Lord, and it stirred something in me. And that was awesome, because that's all it took for me to say yes to God and to what he wanted to do in my life. Another way we're supposed to use our gifts is without boasting. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whatever you do, just remember to do it for the glory of God. It's for his glory. It's not for our glory. And then another thing we're supposed to do with the gifts that God has given us is use them with patience. Using our gifts in love means that we patiently wait and don't get desperate when we don't see the results right away. Again, it might take 10 years before you see or hear that God did something in that person you poured yourself out into. They might be coming back and saying, like, this is where I got saved. This is where God started something. It was because of what you said. It was because of what you told me that now I'm doing what I'm doing. It's important that when we do it because of love, and because love resides in us and is a part of who we are in Christ and are not looking to be rewarded by men, but by God and God alone. Because God is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that he is love. So our motivation is always an indicator of what we are harboring inside. What is your motivation to pour yourself out onto others? If the motivation of your heart is always to gain something from someone, it's like, well, I'm going to do this because, you know, you never know when I might need something. Anybody been there before? I'm going to go ahead and just let them borrow because you never know. You know, what if that person wins the lottery and then I end up needing some money, you know? When our motivation is always to gain something or because we just, you never know when you might need something, then I think we need to go back to see what God tells us about doing things that way. Because Jesus always said, do things, you know, without any expectation from those that don't have any, you know. Don't do it because you might need something in the future. Do it because that's what God called you to do. That's who you are. It was interesting to hear conversations of just people in Mexico. They were saying, Pastor, but we do all these events and, you know, and people come, but they don't come inside the church. You know, how many have been there? How come we don't see the girl? How come we don't see people inside? I mean, yeah, 1,000 people came last year. How come none of them or 5 or 6 of them came? Was it worth it? And again, we do things because that's who we are. Not that's because we want to gain something from someone. Because Jesus said, love unto the least of these. Do things unto the least of these. That's why we do what we do. Was that worth it? Was that strategy good? Well, let me tell you the strategy of Jesus, Matthew 25. You know, feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Give a glass of water to someone who's thirsty. You know, embrace the foreigner. Ooh. I didn't hear amens there. Amen. I'm a foreigner. Just in case you want to embrace me, you guys can do that after service. Amen. And so, I'm just saying. Sometimes we feel like we're supposed to do things to gain something from somebody. We're never to do things because we're to gain something from somebody. We do things because that's who we are in Christ. It's because we're the hands and feet of Jesus unto the least of those. So when we go out and do things for someone, let us do that receiving an expectation of that God is going to bless us, not the person that we're pouring ourselves out into. Because those people may never pay you back. But we do it because we're doing it unto Him. And let me tell you, whenever I let God or lend something to God, He rewards, but He rewards in abundance. So when we do things, I'm saying, God, I'm doing this unto you, Lord. And let me tell you that God has one way or another always shown His hand of faithfulness, and whatever you sow, you reap. So whenever I have thought that this person was going to go ahead and bless me, it never blessed me. It came through another source. But then you realize that it was God who gave it to you, because you're like, God, I did this unto the least of these. I did this for those that didn't have any. So using our gifts means that we are willing to let God use what He has given us and multiply it and bless others. You know, it's just like the story of this kid who felt like he didn't have anything to give. Yet, Jesus was in a crowd. Thousands of people were there. And then all of a sudden, they get hungry. And I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I get a little desperate, you know? I get a little bit like antsy, and then, I don't know, I might turn myself into Hulk or something. I don't know, all of a sudden. So these people, imagine, they're getting all hungry. There are thousands of people, you know, and then all of a sudden, Jesus tells the disciples, feed them. And then, you know, the disciples are like, where are we going to feed them from? It's going to cost a fortune to feed all these people. But let me show you what Mark chapter 6, verse 37 to 44 says. It says, but he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. I want to pause real quick right here, because I want you to hear these words. Sometimes we feel we don't have any gifts. I'm encouraging you, just like if Jesus was telling you, go and see. Sometimes you may feel you don't have anything. Go and see. Check yourself and see what God is giving you. When they found out, they said, five loaves. Well, another version says five loaves and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So I'm going to ask all the kids to come up here to the front. I'm going to ask Doobie to come on up here and help me describe this story a little bit better. So why don't you, all the kids, come on up here real quick. Quick, and then you guys can go back to your mommies and daddies. So he says Jesus is taking the five loaves, and he tells them to sit down on the green grass. So imagine this is green grass, guys. You guys can sit all right here on the ground. That's fine. And then I want you guys to look over here, because Doobie's going to go ahead and show us what happened when he tells them to sit. And then he says, then he gave them, taking the five loaves and two fish. So we're going to pretend that, you know, do you have those? We're going to pretend. SpongeBob. Yeah, that we have SpongeBob's right here. These are like the five loaves and two fish. So, I mean, we're going to work with what we have. Okay, guys? So just pretend. Let's use our imaginations. How many of you guys like using your imagination? Yeah? Yeah? I like using my imagination. So he says this. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gives thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. So Doobie, tell us, man. Right. What?
I need two helpers, by the way. One right here. Right there. Okay. So you stand on this side for me. Hold these for me. Oh, cool. Does it smell like a hot dog still?
Yeah.
I can't hold it at the same time.
No, so. I'll hold it for you.
Okay, stand right here, buddy. Hold these for me. So we're going to kind of pretend the sponge balls kind of represent like the loaves and the fishes. We're going to try to make it multiply, okay? So do me a favor. You got to pretend or imagine or believe that this sponge ball is going to jump into your hand, disappear from mine, go into yours, okay? You ready? So make a fist like this. Okay, right, here we go. Sponge ball number one goes like this. I tuck it in there. I tap. And the sponge ball jumps to your hand. Can I have another sponge ball? Thanks, man. All right, take the sponge ball, open your hand, hold it really tight, squeeze it super hard, okay? Don't let me in, okay? We get that third one, or that second one, whatever. Okay, hold on. So we're going to take it like this, we're going to tuck it like that, tap. Now there should be two in there.
Whoa.
Okay, not bad, not bad. Okay, tight, super tight. Let me have the last one. Here we go. See if we can get three in there. Now, here we go. Like that. We tap like that. Okay. Now three.
Whoa.
Wait, there was a fourth sponge ball, right?
There's a fourth. What happened to the fourth one?
It's right behind you the entire time.
Whoa.
I don't know if that does much of the story or not, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So this is what happened, guys. God took what this kid had, and he multiplied it. He just had one. He had five loaves and two fish, and that's exactly what he did. He just multiplied, made things appear. All of a sudden, they didn't know where it was, where it came from. But God took it, blessed it, and all of a sudden, he had all these. Why don't you give it up for David Dubransky? Thank you, bro.
Good job.
And kids, you guys can stay up here, or you guys can continue. All right. Actually, you guys can go back to your daddies and your mommies, because now I feel like I'm going to trip over you guys. All right. So this is exactly what happened, hypothetically. You know, let's just think about it. You know, if it was whatever he had, verse 41 says that taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gives thanks, broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So God miraculously made these things appear, this provision, out of something that someone felt like, hey, I don't have anything to give. But he commands his disciples to go and see, search, and then they find this kid with five loaves and two fish. I want to encourage you today and this morning to tell you, go and see. Go and see. You might feel like cooking banana nut bread might not be enough, but let me tell you that I love banana nut bread. Amen. I just kidding. In case you want to start putting into practice a gift. I don't know. Kidding. I'm kidding. Look, you guys. You're like, yeah. You know, anyway. You know, Jesus just used this passage to show us how the gifts that God has given us are to be a blessing to others. And not just ourselves. See, the motivation of Jesus here was to feed those that were hungry, those that were in need. His motivation was love. His motivation was, I see a crowd that needs and is full of needs loving, but loving and expressed in ways that would express to them something tangible. Amen? It was through feeding them. It wasn't just saying, I love you. It was something tangible. He uses what we have and makes miracles happen. You may be sitting here and asking yourself the same question as the apostles did. Where am I going to come up with something like that? Where am I going to go ahead and find something that way? Or I can't make things multiply, but you may think you don't have what it takes. But I'm encouraging you to go before God and bring it before Jesus. Bring that gift before Jesus and say, Lord, this is all I have. And let me encourage you to be at an expectation of what God would do with that gift or whatever it may be that you're bringing before God, before Jesus. Because Jesus says he gave thanks. He says, Lord, thank you for this five loaves and two fish. See, our motivation has to be love. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Thank you for my kid. Thank you for my dad, for my mom. Thank you for those that are around me. Thank you, Lord, for those. And then once our attitude gets transformed from seeing what we don't have to what God has already given us, and say thank you with what you do or have given us, then let's work with that. Let Jesus multiply, bless it, and say, Lord, let it be unto you. Let it be for your glory. In this case, it was a gift someone else had. It wasn't even the apostles. And use that gift that others had to bless even the apostles, because they were hungry as well. The motivation behind Jesus' heart, again, is to feed people and who were hungry. And he tells the disciples to teach them that God will always multiply what we have when we do it out of the right motivation. God will always bless. Let me tell you again. what we do have when we do it out of the right motivation. Love. Love is what multiplies the things that we feel like we don't have, or the things that we feel we have little of. So regarding the gifts of God, and I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to ask Jason if he can come on up. Just know, how are the gifts that God has given me blessing others? I want you to ask this question to yourself and say, what or how are the gifts that God has given me blessing others? If you can't answer that right away, then I encourage you to begin this week. I want to challenge you this week to go ahead and put it into practice. And then the second question that I want to ask you is, what motivation am I having while I'm using the gift that God is asking me to use? What is my motivation? What is driving me to do what I do? If we're here today, I believe it's because you love God. If you're here this morning, it's because you say, yes, Lord, I want to be here. But let us find loving expressions to the gifts that God has given us. You know, I want to remind you of the scripture that we read at the beginning. It says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let us not forget that God has given us gifts, and that the pathway to using those gifts is love. Who will you bless with your gift this week? What expression will it have? What would it look like?